Thank you so much, worship team. Didn't they do a great job? Wow. When I saw that gray-haired man up here with the guitar, I thought, well, we'll be singing hymns this morning. But that was wonderful. Well, the hymns would have been okay, too. Amen? Yeah, I thought I might get an amen there. And Steve, thank you for doing such a great job of leading the service. I greet you on behalf of Pastor Bob and Pastor Chris. Both are away, so I said in the foyer, we can do anything we like this morning. You know, when cat's away, the mice will play, or something like that. We have really enjoyed our week here. It's been really neat to get to see Cold Lake and just kind of poke around and contribute to the economy and all that sort of thing. We've enjoyed it, and of course have enjoyed the children and spending some time with them. The report out of Chilliwack is very encouraging. Bob and Crean are having a great time. They spent a couple of days in Seattle this past week. Last night they celebrated Crean's dad's 70th birthday. And today they're at a family get-together on Crean's mom's side. So they're really having a great time, and Bob said it's just been a really good break. And he's looking forward, of course, getting back. They'll be home tomorrow evening. I want to just take a minute and thank you for being so good to our kids. You know, obviously, those of you who are parents understand that your heart is wrapped up in the lives of your children. And when we first had them, you know, we thought, well, this is wonderful. When they grow up, then, you know, we'll be free. Big deal. Free to what? Worry some more. Pray, I should say pray. They're certainly good for your prayer life, aren't they? Our oldest daughter just moved to Kelowna. She arrived there last night. And we're in Calgary. Now they're that much further away with that grandchild. And, of course, we're not too impressed about that. But thank you for being so good to our children. They speak highly of you. And, you know, it's our prayer that as God uses them and you here in this community, that this church will be a tremendous testimony for Jesus Christ. That the wonder of the cross that we were just singing about will become so evident in your lives and as you go out and touch the people you contact, that others will be drawn to Jesus Christ. So neat that the young couple headed to Sherwood Park. I'd love to know how you came to faith in Christ. I'd just love to know that. By the way, we served in the Alliance Church in Sherwood Park. It's huge, but it's a great church, and so we could recommend that to you if you just happen to be looking in that direction. But thank you for being so good. Now, it's my privilege this morning to introduce the summer series of messages that you're going to be receiving. And every week from now on, you're going to be hearing a testimony from one of the folks who are mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. Our theme today is Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. If you have your Bibles, I'd invite you to turn there. But the summer series is going to be called Out of the Stands. And coming out of the stands of witnesses that are surrounding the track that that the writer of Hebrews talks about, are going to be different individuals who will step up and they will share with you how they found God faithful in their lives, how they failed, and how God restored them and used them. And so you're in for a great time. Chris will be sharing with you, Pastor Tom will be sharing, Pastor Bob, and so you'll have some variety, but out of the stands, these people are going to come. Now, I want to introduce that series to you this morning, and let me just quickly give you a little bit of background about the book of Hebrews, okay? First of all, we have no idea who wrote it. Well, we have some idea, but nobody signed their name. It's an anonymous letter. Ever get one of those? Well, they're not very good, but this is a good one. We're not sure who wrote it, and there's several different theories, but that doesn't really matter because it certainly is very in keeping with biblical truth. It's written to Jewish Christians and probably second generation Jewish Christians. In other words, their parents were living when Christ was alive. And these people came to faith in Christ through their parents and through the ministry of the church, the early church. And so they're now followers of Christ. But they're experiencing tremendous persecution. They're going through tough times. And part of the problem is that they're beginning to question, is this really true? Is it really, really true that Jesus is the Messiah? See, they're caught between the Gentiles who hate the Jews and the Jews who hate the Christians. And so they're getting it from both sides. And in this pressure cooker of life, they're asking the question, is this really the truth? Is this worth living for? And some of them are saying, you know, I think we'll just go back to Judaism. I think we'll go back to the old law system and all of those things. We'll go back to the familiar. And we'll reject this person called Jesus and we'll take the easy road. And Paul is writing to them, Paul. I always say Paul, but whoever wrote Hebrews. If you, it's okay with you for it to be Paul, it'll be Paul. But anyway, the author of Hebrews is writing to them to share two important truths. First of all, the sufficiency of Christ. In the midst of the struggle that you're in right now, Jesus is sufficient for your need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Okay, so the sufficiency of Christ in the present and the superiority of Christ in the future. See, we've read the back of the book and we win. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is coming to rule and to reign on planet Earth. We're going to win. But it doesn't seem like it. So He's sufficient now and He's superior in the future. Well, let's read those first three verses from Hebrews chapter 12. And that's sort of the basis for what we're going to share together for a few moments this morning. Someone said in the foyer that it's okay to go till 1 o'clock. Is that all right? All those in favor of the service lasting till 1 o'clock, put your hand up. Liar, liar. But thank you for the encouragement. No, we won't be here till 1, maybe quarter 2, but anyway. I'm reading from Hebrews chapter 12, and this is from the New Living Testament, okay? I'm going to read it from one other translation as well, but listen to this. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily hinders our progress. And let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, on whom our faith depends from start to finish. He was willing to die a shameful death on the cross because of the joy he knew would be his afterward. Now he is seated in the place of highest honor beside God's throne in heaven. Think about all he endured when sinful people did such terrible things to him, so that you don't become weary and give up. After all, you have not yet given your lives in your struggle against sin. Listen to it from the NIV. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance. That word perseverance means keeping on in spite of overwhelming contrary circumstances. Just keeping on, keeping on. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Very important, marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so you will not grow weary and lose heart. Let's pray. Lord, our hearts have been blessed already through the music and through those precious children. How we pray for them this morning as they're away at their special time. Thank you for the people who take the time to minister to them. Will you especially bless them today? We pray that the children will be attentive and that they will hear truth that will change their lives forever. Lord, bless them. Thank you for them. Thank you for a church that has so many young children in it. Give wisdom as they minister to them. But Lord, will you minister to our hearts here today? Hide your servant behind the cross. We would see Jesus high and lifted up. We'd be drawn to him because he's the altogether lovely one. And so we give this next few moments into your loving care. In Jesus' name, amen. Some of you will be familiar with the good old song that the Southern Gospel people sing. And it goes something like this. It's a battle. It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's a fight, not a game. Run if you want to, run if you will, but I came here to stay. And then there's another hymn that we sing out of the hymn book called Onward Christian Soldiers. And I remember Sunday nights being in church. That was back before the crust of the earth had hardened. But I remember, and always, you know, we'd have, now we'll sing some favorites. And always it was, onward Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. On, forward into battle, see his banner go. Onward Christian soldiers. But you know, there's a theme comes through those songs and many others like them. And it's simply this, that the Christian life is not for the faint of heart. The Christian life that is lived in the power of the Holy Spirit that reveals Jesus Christ to the world around us is not for people who just say, well, I'm too chicken to do anything else, or I'm a sissy. This is for people who will stand up and be counted. This is for people who are willing to pay the price for others to know that they're a Christian. In our first ministry, we were in Portage la Prairie, Manitoba. We went down there just very young. We were married after I'd started down there, and our first two children, Bob, was born in Portage. But it's a military town, an Air Force base. Sound familiar to anybody? And so people would come into the church. And they were flight lieutenants, and they were flying, you know, the Tudors in those days, and the T-33s, and one fella came, he'd been on the, I can't remember all the numbers, he'd been in Germany, he'd flown that Delta Wing fighter, what, anybody remember the name of it? Anyway, it doesn't matter. But it was an interesting thing that these men who lived in that setting, when they took a stand for Christ and they declared themselves to be Christians and took a stand in terms of certain issues that they would and would not get involved in, it immediately affected their promotions. I remember one gentleman who was doing the work of several ranks above him, but because of his Christian stand, they would not promote him. See, this is not for chickens. This is not for sissies. This is not for people who say, well, I can't make it any other way, so I'll just kind of be Christian. You know, it's not just do good to your neighbor, although that's good. This is a lifestyle in which we take a stand and we let it be known where we stand. Well, the writer of the book of Hebrews says, since you have this cloud of witnesses, I want you to stand up and be counted. And he says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to consider them. I want you to consider him. And I want you to continue on. So let's talk for a moment about consider them. This cloud of witnesses is a reference to what has just been explained in chapter 11. If you haven't read chapter 11 recently, read it. Incredible. What these people accomplished by faith. Incredible what they suffered as a result of their faith. You've heard of the Hall of Fame, right? You know, people get inducted into the Hall of Hockey Fame. into the hall of baseball fame or football fame or whatever. Well, this is the hall of faith. These are people who have been inducted into the hall of faith who said, listen, here is how you walk in this generation, in this world, as a Christian. Listen to what they accomplished. Who through faith conquered kingdoms? This is chapter 11, verse 32. Who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised? Who shut up the mouth of lions, who quenched the fury of the flames, who escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign enemies. Wow, wouldn't you like to be that kind of a person? Oh, boy, just went out there and took down the giants, you know. But dear friend, that's not all the story. Listen to this. Some faced jeers. That's public ridicule. Some were flogged. Others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were put to death with the sword. They went about in sheepskin and goatskin and destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. You see, the Church of Jesus Christ has moved forward on the blood of the saints, on the martyrs. We were in the little church, not little church, we were in the Church of Outlook Alliance a few weeks ago. And we do just what you do here. We pray, you know, this is wonderful to see you praying for one another. And the request, the question was, is there any prayer requests? And someone stood up and said, I wish you would pray for the families of the three young men who were ministering over in a closed country whose lives were taken this week. There was an email came through, and it told the story of these three young men who started a Bible study. This is in a Muslim country. And they were bringing people to this Bible study, and it looked like it was going really well. What they didn't realize where that was that they had been infiltrated by some people who were there to find out about it and to deal with it. So one morning, these infiltrators came to the Bible study armed with ropes and knives and anything they could bring that would inflict pain. Those three young men lost their lives that morning in a horrible way. They were mutilated, they were tortured, and finally killed for their faith. That happened just 6 weeks ago. The Church of Jesus Christ is moving forward, dear friend, on the blood of the martyrs. God doesn't deliver them all, but their death is never, never, never in vain. See, there's a common thread. It is simply this, that whether in good times or bad times, whether God gives us great success and, you know, we become a flourishing church, or whether we go through difficult struggles, whether God prospers us financially and we have health and strength and great kids and all of that, or whether we go through times of illness and struggle, God is faithful. We walk by faith, not by sight. His promises are still the same no matter what the circumstances we're involved in. So we consider them. We consider these people who are called witnesses who say to us, let me tell you from personal experience, and you'll hear this as these messages unfold. Let me tell you from personal experience that you can trust God, that He's faithful. Now, this cloud of witnesses, one of the things they're not is people standing and observing and saying, well, you're not doing very well. You know, I'm not picking on you. Just need somebody to look at, you know. Well, you sure didn't stand up very well. We can be encouraged by them, but what we need to see them as is witnesses to the fact that God's faithfulness will not fail. We get our English word martyr from this word witness. The Greek word witness is the same as our English word martyr. So we could say we are surrounded by a great cloud of martyrs. That doesn't sound quite so good, does it? Since we're surrounded by this cloud of people who say to you, God will get you through. God will, you will win. Let us lay aside. Now these witnesses say three personal things to us. First of all, don't be distracted by things. You know, we live in a materialistic world. Stores are open 7 days a week, so everybody has enough time to buy all the junk they need. You ever notice that our ability to gather junk and store it is directly proportionate to the amount of room we have to put it in? How are your garages doing? Mine's filling up with ladders and little trailers and, oh, I've got to have that. Oh, I mean, life will be wonderful now that I got that. Nothing wrong with those things. What I'm trying to say to you is this. Don't become distracted. Don't allow the lure of this world, the things of this world, the having of this and the getting of that and keeping up with the Joneses and having the nice car and all of that stuff. Nothing wrong with it. Don't allow that to become the focus of your life. Don't allow that to become the focus of your finances. But remember, they're saying, listen, you are in a battle. You are in a race. Don't let anything distract you. Keep focused. And then they say to us, deal with the parasitic sin. The message calls it the parasitic sin that sucks the life out of you. We were younger in ministry. We had some friends. Actually, the grandparents were in our church in Kindersley, and the parents lived in Saskatoon. The father worked in he was a meat inspector in one of the processing plants there in Saskatoon. And they couldn't understand what was wrong with this little son of theirs. He was so irritable and he was so unhappy, and he would hold his head and he would cry and he would cry and he would cry. And they took him to doctors, and they thought there was something emotionally wrong with him. They tried everything, and they couldn't get to the bottom of this problem. But one day as I recall this story, they were in a doctor's office, and an East Indian doctor saw this, and he said, oh, I know what's wrong with that child. He's got parasites in his brain. He's picked them up from the meat that his dad handled. And came home, and he's picked up these parasites. So they just treated him, you know, treated the parasites like that. He was brand new. Oh, dear friends, we're all human. We have sinful hearts. Yeah, preacher. Yeah, everybody. For all have sinned. This is who we are. And it is so much easier to go the way of the flesh and to allow sin to live in our lives, to coddle that thing, to enjoy it, you know, in the dark of night, in the hidden spot. But it's a parasite that sucks the life out of us. Why would we go out and bear testimony to Jesus Christ and His saving grace when it isn't working for us? If we confess our sin, He is willing and just to forgive us our sin and to do what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, is that, you know, so we'll feel humiliated? No. So that's so we'll be free. And so these witnesses say, look, don't get distracted by stuff. Deal with the sin in your life. It's going to be there. It's going to be a problem for you. So deal with it. Bring it to the cross. Share it with another brother or sister. Get accountable. And then they say, keep moving. Keep going. Keep walking. Even when you don't understand. Even when it doesn't make sense. Just keep walking. I think I mentioned Neil Anderson last week and his Freedom in Christ. And he talks about when you're in darkness, when you're in a difficult place, he said, you just keep walking. I read a really neat illustration about the Impala deer. Any of you ever heard of a Chevy Impala? Back a while. We had a Chevy Impala. Ooh, it was a nice car. Well, do you know that that's a deer in Africa, an impala? Do you know that those things can leap over a 10-foot obstacle? They can cover 30 feet in one bound. Now, I didn't make this up. You can go on the internet and check it out if you like, okay? But do you know that they can be kept in by a 3-foot fence? The reason being, they will not leap if they can't see where their feet will land. Dear friend, that's not faith. Faith moves forward. You all know that the Prairie Bible Institute in Cairnport. You know about Cairnport. Way back in the 30s, Cairnport got started. And Mr. Whitaker and some other ladies were meeting and they were praying. And people had nothing. Any of you who lived through the 30s, none of you are old enough. Just toward the end, you know. But those three people said back in those days, they said, if we can't trust God now, we can never trust Him. And they launched out. You see, faith keeps walking. So the witnesses, the martyrs say, oh, it'll be dark. It'll be tough. You just keep walking. But don't just walk blindly. Consider Him. Keep focused on Him. I haven't checked. We may be getting closer to one than I'd like to think. Oh, no, we're okay. Consider Him. Now listen to what Hebrews says. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Well, in this introductory message to the Out of the Stand series, I want to do two things as far as focusing on Him, considering Him. First of all, I want you to remember He's the author of your faith. He wrote the script. He designed the master plan. Go clear back to Genesis, and it says, and they said, let us make man in our image. In the image of God created He them, male and female. And He breathed into them the breath of life, and they became a living soul, an eternal soul. And when we went our own way, the very first thing God did was shed blood to provide a covering for Adam and Eve. And that has been the picture down through the centuries, down through the Old Testament. It's a red line of blood leading to the cross. Because the plan of God for the ages is that He would send His Son to redeem us from a lost and fallen world, to save us. As I was sitting here this morning, Steve and Rex and others of you, I got thinking, would I ever love to hear the testimonies of the people who sit here? I'd like to know how Joe came to faith in Christ. I'd like to know how Jeff came to faith in Christ. How did that happen? Was it as a child? Was it as an adult? Was it as a result of an evangelistic meeting? Was it in Bible school? Was it in vacation school, at camp? You see, Jesus is the beginner. He's the author. And every one of us must come to that place in our lives where we surrender to Him. He's the only way of salvation. And you know, this is one of the areas where we get dragged off center. We get to say, well, you know, that's pretty narrow. You know, maybe for us Christians, that's not what the Word says. It says, there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I was so thrilled this week. I was watching an interview with Franklin Graham. And they were talking all about, you know, Samaritan's Purse and all that stuff. And the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. You all know that Mrs. Graham passed away. Billy's wife has passed away. But they were interviewing Franklin. And I don't remember a lot about it, but I remember him saying this. He's saying, you know what? He said, we preach that Jesus Christ is the answer to the Muslim. He's the answer to the Hindu. He's the answer to the Jew. He's the answer for the Gentile. He is the one and only way of salvation. Now, I might be preaching to the choir here this morning. You're all saying, oh, that's a good message, Pastor. We believe that. But I want to ask this question. Is there anyone here who's never personally received it for themselves? Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Dear friend, that is the truth of the word. You must exercise your will toward him. He does not come and cram it down your throat. He does not force it. We're not all Christian by virtue of whatever. We become a child of God through faith in his Son, as many as receive him. He's the author. He's the designer. But you must come and receive him. But not only that, he's the finisher. He's the finisher of our faith. He's the one who's going to bring it to fulfillment. I got thinking about, these relay races, you know, that they run? Well, we might think about it this way. Jesus ran the first lap. And he said, here's how you do it. He passed it on to the disciples, and they ran a lap, and they passed it on, and they passed it on, and we pass it on. But the day is coming when Jesus is going to run the last lap. And we're going to win. Amen? Do you believe that? You say amen in this church? We're going to win. And the witnesses say, don't let anything distract you. And don't let sin suck the life out of you. And just simply say, I am going to be faithful. I'm going to keep walking. No matter what. I'm sure you've all watched the program Extreme Home Makeover. Yeah? Sunday Night Fair. Yeah, we like it. And we love it that people get helped. And you all know the plot. They come to this person's house and they come on out, whatever family, and the family comes out and they put them in the limo and they send them off for a holiday, and then they send back pictures of the house being torn down. We all love it when the house goes down. And the family say, oh my, our house is gone. And they keep reporting in and reporting in. And actually, we were down, when we were in Mesa the first year, they did a house like that just a short distance from where we were. So we never got over there, but they did it, just so you know. But finally the day comes, the final day. They bring the family home and they bring them in the limousine with the windows all blacked out, and they park them behind the bus. And they get out and everybody's cheering. Oh, this is wonderful. The witnesses, you know, isn't that a great way to apply that? The witnesses are all there. They're saying, we've seen it happen. We know it's real. It's really happened. And then they say, move that bus. Move that bus. And they see with their own eyes what's been accomplished for them. Dear friend, our faith in Jesus Christ is of such a nature that we say it's as sure as anything can be that we're going to enter into what he's prepared for us. But it's our job to be faithful. It's our job to walk by faith, to leap sometimes when we can't see where we're going to land. Just simply to trust. Well, we consider them, we consider him, and we continue on. And I am, honestly, I'm finished. Two dangers. We grow weary. Our passion fades. Well, isn't that true? We just kind of go through the motions. We go to church on Sunday, and well, there we did our thing this week. are judgment folders. We're deceived by the enemy. We get pulled off of our focus. We get to thinking that it's up to me to live the Christian life. I've got to make it happen. And when I fail, I say, see, I can't do it. When it's his job. It's Christ in me, the hope of glory. It's Jesus who is my Savior. It's Jesus who is my sanctifier. It's Jesus who is my healer and my coming King. That's Alliance doctrine, in case you didn't know that. And we grow weary. And we also are discouraged. We also sort of kind of give up. We lose heart. You know, we can't win anyway. We live in a secular world. Nobody else is believing what we're believing. We think it's impossible. And besides, if I just kind of drop by the wayside, nobody would know. It wouldn't make any difference. Not true. So we consider them, those who have gone on through. We consider him who's charted the course and who says, follow me. And we continue on. Well, listen to these words. In the harvest field now ripened, there's a lot of work to do. Hark, the voice is calling to the harvest, calling you. In the mad rush of the Broadway, in the hurry and the strife, tell of Jesus' love and mercy. Give to them the word of life. Does the place you're called to labor seem too small and little known? It is great if God is in it, and he'll not forget his own. Are you laid aside from service, body worn from toil and care? You can still be in the battle, in the sacred place of prayer. When the conflict here is ended and our race on earth is run, he will say, if we are faithful, welcome home, my child, well done. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. You know, one thing when you consider Jesus, remember this. He decided the pain was worth it, considering the prize. You're the prize. The pain was worth it, considering the prize. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word this morning, and thank you for the privilege of sharing it. Will you bless it to the hearts and lives of each individual here? And Lord, if there's a person in this place who's never really, honestly, in their innermost heart, invited Jesus Christ to be their Savior. They've played with the edges of it, but they've never made that commitment. I pray that even right now, they would simply pray in their heart of hearts these words, Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you. I confess that I'm a sinner. I'm asking you to come into my heart and to save me and make me a child of God. Thank you for saving me. I want to live my life for you. And Lord, those of us who have been Christians for many, many years, I pray that it will be the purpose of our heart to come out of the stands and be counted and say, I'm going to stand up and I am going to let it be known who I am and what I stand for. And that's for Jesus. Bless these dear folk. Thank you for them. Thank you for the privilege of having these Sundays with them. Will you bless this church and use it mightily, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.